This is Jay Sekulow, a showdown on Capitol Hill on the repeal of Obamacare.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The president wants a vote today. That's not targeting any moderate group, any conservative group. He wants a vote. He's tired of the drawn-out negotiations. He's tired of folks always coming up with better ideas and nitpicking the bill as it is. This is not a politician. This is a businessman. He thinks the time has come for a vote.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Look, if you guys can't get your act together, he's saying to fellow Republicans, I'm moving on to tax reform and Obamacare is going to stay in place. If you're moving towards a yes, as you just told us, that suggests to me that maybe that pressure, maybe that suggestion is working.
Right, and I think that's the way you look at our conference and the way the vote is moving. People I've talked with this morning are talking more in terms of getting to a yes.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Well, it's going to be a big day on Capitol Hill, and that's because there's going to be a vote up or down, it looks like, on the issue of the American Health Care Act and the repeal of Obamacare. Now, it was supposed to take place yesterday. It did not. When it was not to take place, Cecilia Richards from Planned Parenthood sent out an email alert to her entire constituency, and it says, your calls are having an impact. Paul Ryan and his allies were forced to delay a vote on their, quote, reckless and extreme health care repeal bill because they couldn't pass it as is. And then, of course, their concern at Planned Parenthood is they're about to lose over $500 million a year on funding. There is a lot of trading going on back and forth. The president said, and I think this was part of his art of the deal, you're having a vote tomorrow. We're done negotiating. And there has been, though, there has been some significant changes to this. I do need to say this. Our friends at the Freedom Caucus have made some improvements in this bill. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No, and President Trump directly targeting them, if you will, in a tweet this morning to the Freedom Caucus. We have a lot of friends there. He tweeted, the irony is that the Freedom Caucus, which is very pro-life and against Planned Parenthood, allows Planned Parenthood to continue if they stop the American Health Care Act. Yeah. Now, technically, that's true. Funding for Planned Parenthood would continue if this reconciliation bill fails on the House floor this afternoon.
All right. Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs in Washington, D.C., is with us. And, Than, what's the state of play here?
Well, Cecile Richards and President Trump are absolutely right. As it stands, Planned Parenthood would continue to get funding unless this bill passes today. Jay, there have been significant changes. We can walk through some of them, but look, the brass tacks here is every time there's a change, they pick up additional support and then lose a little bit of support on the other side. The rule has passed the House, Jay. It passed with 230 votes. Final passage later this afternoon will need somewhere between 213 and 216 votes. As we sit at this moment, Jay, I don't know whether or not this bill is going to pass or not.
What's your gut if you had a bet on it?
When the vote opens, the White House and the leadership on the floor always have the advantage, and I think members are going to go to the floor and they're going to have to choose between Obamacare and Planned Parenthood funding or this package that's been negotiated. I guess my gut would say it's going to pass.
I think so,
but
too.
But I don't have a whole lot of confidence.
No,
in that.
I think it's strictly a gut feel on this. And Jordan, what do you think?
Well, I think that if they actually allow the voting to begin this afternoon, that means it may be a very small margin, but they feel like they have the opportunity to pass it. They're not going to go into this, Than, in my opinion, even though President Trump's talked very boldly about vote it up, vote it down. I'm not sure that Speaker Ryan shares that, and though he is allowing this vote to move forward, Than, if they know that they were 20 votes short, you can pull this right away. You don't have to have a vote this afternoon.
If they're sure they're going to lose, they absolutely can cancel that vote, Jordan. However, the president has asked that they hold it one way or the other. Jordan, I think he wants to move on to tax reform, win or lose.
Yeah, if he wins and then goes on to tax reform, that would be better. Be a big defunding of Planned Parenthood. All right, comments coming in, Logan.
That's most of the comments right now, is people are sort of upset. It kind of switched. Now I'm getting a lot of comments. People are just upset that this is defunding Planned Parenthood. Kind of a, who cares what else is in it? And I think people say that's their number one issue. They're
a little
upset.
Bit different from yesterday.
A little bit different so far.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think it does three things very quickly. One, the individual mandates are gone, so no more Hobby Lobby problems, no more Little Sisters of the Poor problem. That's big. Defunds Planned Parenthood is big. Gives states more control over how to do this. That's big. I think we've backed it. We're in favor of it. We'll be back with your comments at 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. Confirmation hearings are taking place in the U.S. Senate for Judge Neil Gorsuch of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit to replace Justice Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court. Judge Gorsuch is exceedingly qualified. He has a proven constitutional conservative record, but the left will stop at nothing to defeat him. They don't want a proven conservative on the court. Now it is more important than ever, as these hearings are underway, to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Gorsuch's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition to confirm Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
See, you've had an impact, folks. Push notifications going out, so hopefully it helps. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we've got a couple things we're following. Obviously, there's going to be a vote today on the Affordable Care Act repeal, which is the Obamacare. That looks like it's going to be today, and as Stan said, very close vote. We also have Planned Parenthood bragging about the fact that they got the vote delayed a day, and this is good for them. Well, you know, it's not good for them. If this passes, they lose $500 million. We also have Chuck Schumer. We got the sound on this. I want to play it, and we're going to take some calls on this. Chuck Schumer saying he's going to – ready for this? They're talking about having a filibuster against Neil Gorsuch. I'm not. This is a guy that did a phenomenal job in his hearing, but they are talking about filibuster. Let's play the sound.
I have come to a decision about the current nominee. After careful deliberation, I have concluded that I cannot support Judge Neil Gorsuch's nomination to the Supreme Court. His nomination will have a cloture vote. He will have to earn 60 votes for confirmation. My vote will be no, and I urge my colleagues to do the same.
Let me just say something really quickly here. As a Supreme Court advocate, and as someone who has a case pending before the Supreme Court right now, and maybe two, Let me tell you something. First of all, this guy received the well-qualified from the ABA. We know that. Let me tell you something else, Senator Schumer. You have not given this careful consideration. This is a political ploy. Kagan gets through. He's now Justice Kagan. Sotomayor gets through. She's now Justice Sotomayor. There were Republicans that disagreed with their judicial philosophy significantly, but no one was arguing over their qualifications. You know, elections have consequences, but if you do this, I am now talking to the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell. Nuclear option, no option. That is the option. You nuclear option, and you get the next 4 to 8 years worth of Supreme Court nominees through.
Why don't you explain what that is for people who don't know?
All right, so I'll let Jordan Thane get into this, but yep. What it does is there's this, he said you have to earn 8 votes to get cloture. That is, although you only have to have a majority to be confirmed, you have to have 60 votes to get it to the floor.
That's
so right. Explain
you,
that.
So we used to think of filibuster as you take the Senate floor and you don't stop. So you don't stop speaking. You see those speeches that go for hours and hours and hours. That is a filibuster. That's one form of filibuster. But when it comes to nominees or legislation in the Senate only, by the way, this is only in the United States Senate, you have to get 60 votes on what is called a cloture vote. That vote closes debate, you know, cloture. Closes debate on the issue or the nominee,
right,
and then allows the Senate to vote up or down. In the up or down vote, you can get by with 51.
Right.
In the cloture vote, though, you must get that supermajority of 60. And the only remaining individual, legislation still has to get that, but the only remaining individual appointee still subject to this is the Supreme Court nominee. That's the only
because
one.
Harry changed that.
The Democrats changed that then.
Right.
And so the truth is everybody else gets to go under this different standard. Why not the Supreme Court nominee at this point to totally neutralize, if you will, neuter Chuck Schumer's whipping of the filibuster against Judge Gorsuch, which is what he's now announcing.
All right. So, Dan, what do you think?
Well, I think Senator Schumer may not know what he's asking for, Jay, because honestly, I think in the long run, it might be better if Democrats do filibuster. I'm not saying it's justified. It's absolutely not. But we know, because of what Harry Reid did, that he is determined to move judicial nominees with a 51-vote threshold. The question is whether or not Republicans are willing to play by the same rules or whether they're going to hold themselves to a higher standard. So I think what Senator Schumer might accomplish if he's able to pull off this filibuster is actually forcing Republicans to admit that it's time for them to play that by the same set of rules.
Listen, he's the one who authorized this. This was authorized by Harry Reid, so the Democrats can own this for good or for ill, and then you don't have this problem again. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's go right to the phone.
Let's go to Ryan, who's calling on line four. Ryan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. I'm really happy that Planned Parenthood will be defunded. My concern, however, is that my mother may not receive health coverage after this goes through.
Well, what kind of health coverage is, Brian, what kind of health coverage is she receiving now?
I think it's Medicaid or...
It's not going to impact Medicaid. It will not impact Medicaid at all.
No, I mean, and President Trump has been very clear throughout his campaign, unlike many Republicans, that he wants nothing that would interfere with people's entitlements, whether that's Medicaid, Medicare, or Social Security kind of benefits as well, to throw that in. So depending on the age of your mother, whether that's Medicare or the financial situation, Medicaid, all of that is included in this. And in fact, there's some conservatives, that's part of the issues they have, is that doesn't go far enough in changing those programs. But ultimately, that would be the fear tactics, the push grandma over the ledge, if you will.
But that's not
the case here in this reconciliation.
I think we need to be really clear about that. So none of that's going to affect Medicare or Medicaid whatsoever. So there you have it. Okay, Logan, let's grab another call. I think we can.
All right, let's go ahead.
Unless
let's go
take a comment.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Let's go to Joseph, who's calling on line one.
Hi, Joseph.
Kentucky.
Hello there, Jay and Jordan. I wanted to ask two things. If this bill is passed, this American Health Care Act, can the next president, if he be Democrat or Republican, can he have this repealed?
Sure. I mean, that's the way it works. Elections have consequences, and the president, if there's another president, they put forward a agenda item, they absolutely can change it. That's why we're being able to see the change in Obamacare through the reconciliation bill and significant changes in Obamacare. But yes, another president comes in, they could change it. There, no question about it. But listen, frankly, the Congress could change it if they could override a presidential veto. So, I mean, you had those situations before. You got a comment, Logan?
I could probably grab a comment here. A lot of people are concerned about, obviously, this not passing and then Planned Parenthood continuing to be funded. That's something that comes up.
I'll tell you this. If it doesn't pass now, this reconciliation bill, I think it's done.
Well, I don't think that you're going to see, because in regular legislation outside the reconciliation process, you would not be able to include the Planned Parenthood defunding and have any chance of getting this through. Not the House so much, but the Senate.
Yep.
So that would not be included. So if you don't do it this way, it's not, and this is a vehicle to do it appropriately, then it's not going to be done if you go through. You know how you hear a lot of these conservative members of Congress right now saying, just let's write new legislation entirely. Well, guess what? That new legislation may pass in the House with
the
defunding of
Planned
Parenthood, but it will be stripped right out in the United States Senate because it would be the only way to pass the larger piece of the health care law.
Because, again, it goes back to the rules.
Here's what you do. You pass this, you defund Planned Parenthood, you get some good changes, the individual mandate's gone, Medicaid block grants. Again, the list goes on there. But a big thing is, you could say bigly, is the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Second, then move on. Then start proposing legislation that's much more difficult. But then you have plenty. You have 3 more years
to implement,
to work on that.
Let me play for everybody a statement from Marsha Blackburn, congressman in Tennessee, who's been very active on this and was initially leaning towards no, but is apparently changing. Listen to what she said.
Are they moving towards yes, number one? And number two, is this going to pass today?
yes, I think you're going to see the bill pass. And when the bill comes up for the vote, as it is in its current state, you're going to see lots of conservatives who are going to stand up and vote for this.
So there you have it. I think that bodes well for where the situation is. I think we're going to see it pass. But like Thant said, very, very close to call.
Yeah, and a lot of still mixed feedback, I'd say, that comes in. You know, we have a lot of people who are concerned about it. You know, Vicky said, time for Republicans to stop crying about abortion for now. The context of the bill terribly hurts Americans.
I'd like to note for Vicky. Is it Vicky?
Vicky, yes.
Yeah, Vicky, tell us in the chat here or on Facebook, what is it that you think hurts? Because this bill, for putting Planned Parenthood aside, it gets rid of the individual mandate, which was a big problem, gets rid of the employer mandate.
Yeah.
It gives the states more control on how to determine it. It sets a framework where you could have actual competition again within the insurance company. So if you're thinking it's because of this, 20 million people will get less will not have insurance because of this, according to the Congressional Budget Office. We've already debunked that. That was the same Congressional Office that said when we had Obamacare, 25 million people were going to be in it, and only 9 million people did. And the reality is, what CBO is not scoring are those plans that would not qualify as Obamacare plans because their coverage levels wouldn't be high enough. But if you're 24-year-old, doesn't need that kind of coverage that I need at 61. I mean, that's just fact. And that's part of the actuarial tables.
Yeah, it's opposition to this is either that you don't like that there isn't more government-run
insurance,
but they're not bailing out Obamacare, basically. Or number two, which I get some of the concerns, are it's not enough cuts to it. That doesn't sound like the way she was going. She said it hurts Americans. Because more cuts would be the more conservative. And I get that. And we could accomplish that through regular legislative process, but not through reconciliation. This is as much – I mean, they have gone to the – furthest extent possible under the rules of the House and even looking to the rules of the Senate at how far they can go in undoing Obamacare through reconciliation.
So Than, looking at the reconciliation, we only got a minute here before the break. We got to keep reminding people this is a reconciliation bill, but we're on the threshold of a major victory here, I think.
Absolutely, and not only reconciliation, Jay, but also just on conservative principles. Look, the Freedom Caucus got a lot of wins. Actually, a lot of the defections now are trickling to the center of the conference.
Yeah.
So look, one way or another, Jay, you have to have a majority to get it through. I would suggest they probably got the balance pretty close now.
I think our friends in the Freedom Caucus did a great job. They moved this thing forward. They got some positive developments, and I think the end result of that's going to be a vote, and that vote's going to determine the course of this, and I think this is a good step one. Are we getting – you say we're getting mixed comments still?
Yeah, very, very mixed. That's
yeah. Like. We'll talk about it during the break with our friends on Facebook and Periscope. If you're listening on radio, we want you to get your calls and comments in at 1-800-684-3110. We've got a lot more of the broadcasts ahead. Let people know how they can engage.
That's right. You can either keep listening here or you can find us during the break. We never take a break over on Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. You get to watch us, and you get to get your comments in. Great way to interact with the show and other listeners. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. Confirmation hearings are taking place in the U.S. Senate for Judge Neil Gorsuch of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit to replace Justice Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court. Judge Gorsuch is exceedingly qualified. He has a proven constitutional conservative record, but the left will stop at nothing to defeat him. They don't want a proven conservative on the court. Now it is more important than ever, as these hearings are underway, to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Gorsuch's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition to confirm Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Of course, a lot of focus on today's broadcast, the American Healthcare Act, which has now in its final few hours of debate on the House floor before a vote. President Trump yesterday declaring, okay, if you're not going to have the vote last night, then have it tomorrow. I'm done negotiating. I'm done debating. Let's put people's feet to the fire and see how they actually vote. This morning, he tweeted out directly to the House Freedom Caucus and saying, think about it, guys. You don't vote. You're so pro-life. You're against this funding of Planned Parenthood. This reconciliation bill defunds Planned Parenthood. That's probably the only opportunity we have to do it this simply. Certainly this simply. And we know we have a president in office who's not going to veto that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the actual tweet if you're watching on social media.
Yeah, so there's the tweet.
Well, go ahead.
For those who are on social media.
He was reading it. Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
But for those that aren't on social media, we need to read it to everybody.
Yeah, well, we just stated essentially what it said. But it said, the irony is that the Freedom Caucus, which is very pro-life and against Planned Parenthood, allows Planned Parenthood to continue if they stop this plan.
So, I mean, I know people are saying on Facebook, Logan, that it's not a big deal, but it's a really big deal. We've been fighting for that for 35 years, and this is going to help the overall healthcare system.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I understand
there are people like Carol who just said, just pass it already, it defunds Planned Parenthood. That's a great start. Is this a start?
Well,
or is this the final, like what we're going to get out of this?
Well, I think this is something we should look at. So is this a start? This is supposed to be phase one.
Yep.
Now, the problem is, and this is the difficulty, is phase two, I think you may be able to get through. It depends on what's going to be in it. And phase three, you can run into a buzzsaw at the Senate. Let's be realistic on this. Let you and Than respond.
Well, I'd say here's the issue. This is not the final plan from the Obama administration or Congress. The leadership in Congress. It's not the final
Trump
plan.
It's not
the final plan. This is part one, as they say, or phase one. Phase two is then actual legislation, not going through the reconciliation process. And then, of course, they've talked about multiple phases even of undoing things. And that may be because you have to start breaking up the legislation into what can pass this way through the House and Senate, what can pass this way through the House and Senate, so multiple votes. Are you always taking a risk that maybe you don't get to phase two? Yes, but let's see what we accomplished with phase one. We have gotten rid of the individual mandate, which all of us said, including folks, all of you out there who are listening that were opposed to Obamacare, knew that if the individual mandate was held unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, Obamacare was no longer.
Right.
Because without it, it fails.
So
what they've done is say, we take that out, we've had to then fix it. Obviously, if there's no individual mandate, there has to be a fix put in place.
But it's really a three-step process, right? I mean, that's what you're saying, Jordan.
Yes.
So, Than, because this is a question, Logan, people are asking. They want to know, how do you get the rest of this fixed?
Right.
So let's talk about, I think that's a fair question, then we'll take some calls. Than, let's take kind of follow-up with what Jordan said on the phase two and phase three here. What has to happen?
I think Jordan's description is very fair. I think phase two, Secretary Price's regulatory reforms, I think that's much easier. I think that is very likely to happen, Jay. Phase three, additional legislation.
Let me talk about regulatory reform for a minute. Didn't mean to cut you off here, Than, but regulatory reform means that the agency itself can change regulations on implementation and on impact. So that would be a phase two. You do not need congressional approval for that. That is the regulatory regime being able to handle that. Now go to phase three.
Well, phase three is additional legislation, and Jordan's exactly right that additional 60-vote hurdle is one that you can't automatically clear. But, Jay, I think that is an additional reason to pass this because, look, if you don't pass it in reconciliation in phase one, here's what you get. You get Obamacare, and you get Planned Parenthood funding because that is something that cannot reach that 60-vote threshold in the United States Senate. So while there's no guarantee on phase three, there is a guarantee if you don't pass phase one, and it's Obamacare.
Yeah, and it never changes, and that's done. Because I believe, by the way, if this vote is not successful, and Jordan, quickly, and then let's grab a call, Logan. If this vote isn't successful, I don't think this comes up again anytime soon.
No, I think that for a while it goes away. They're going to move away to another top agenda item like tax reform, which is near and dear to President Trump. It's a campaign promise. He's going to say, listen, I want to repeal Obamacare. Congress couldn't get it done. Next. I mean, that's how he operates.
Yeah, that's how Trump
operates. You cut your losses and you move on to your next win.
All right.
And that would be, I think, the tax reform issue. But, folks, that means Planned Parenthood continues to be funded to the tune of $500 billion every year.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Cindy, who's calling in New York on line 6. Cindy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, thanks for having
sure.
me. I just want to thank you for informing us as the American people, helping us to understand judicial and governmental processes, just to bringing more clarity to the issues. What I went called about was I was in Denver this past couple of days, and there were people just about on every street corner, and they were all collecting for Planned Parenthood, and I thought to myself, don't they have, like, megabucks that they don't need people to, like,
well, they get $500 million from the United States Treasury, from our taxpayer dollars, and they raise another $500 million from citizens. They are allowed to do that. We're not saying they can't do that. We don't like that they are successful at that, but they have the right to do that. But they don't have the right. There's no constitutional right for Planned Parenthood, despite some of these judges saying that they can get taxpayer money. So don't forget, in all of this debate, that goes.
And I wonder, were they collecting money or were they collecting signatures for petitions? Yeah. Oh, she dropped them.
Okay.
They do a lot of, I remember that Washington, D.C. as well. So in major cities,
yep.
A lot of petition signing because they have been opposed to this. I mean, doesn't it tell you a lot? If Planned Parenthood is scared and so opposed to the American Health Care Act, it usually means it's something good to pass.
Yes,
I mean,
right.
We've usually used that as a standard. When Planned Parenthood opposes something strongly and they put all their resources towards it, then it's something we should support. And there are the votes there. We got a president of the United States who will sign this.
Yeah. So, Logan, though, I think it's important for people to understand. And we want to be fair to our audiences, but radio, TV, also, of course, those watching on social media platforms. You're saying it's mixed?
Yeah, I'd say it's mixed. I think when we start talking about this, more people kind of come on to our side here. But Gail just said, defunding Planned Parenthood is a bigger deal than everyone is saying. It's preventing the killing of millions of babies. Stop being selfish about your own worries, someone's saying. Now, you obviously want to make sure that what you're passing is good.
Your health care as it is not going to be impacted by this, except the rates are going to go down. Let me make the position of the ACLJ clear here. We have supported this. And Than, you have communicated our support of this, especially as the Freedom Caucus was able to get those additional changes. And they're friends of ours. We have come out in favor of this. And I know some conservative groups have not, and I appreciate that, but we have come out in favor of it. Go ahead.
We have. We've said that we understand that the reconciliation process is not an easy one to deal with, but we recognize, Jay, that this only gets harder the further along you get. I mean, look, if this were to not pass and you were to try to pass it again, you'd be stuck in the same situation of trying to get 216 votes to get it through the House. So we have said that we think now is the time to defund Planned Parenthood and take this first step in getting rid of Obamacare.
And remember, this will allow a regulatory regime to be put in place by Secretary Price that could change this entire debate. That's phase two, and that'll come very quickly. All right, folks, we are here for another 30 minutes. You may not be getting the full hour of the program. Logan's going to let you know how you can do that, then I'm going to ask you to do something.
That's right. If you don't get us on your local station for the full hour, log on over to any of our social media. It's Facebook or Periscope. Or you can find it on ACLJ.org. We're broadcasting live there. Video and audio, like a television show you get to watch each and every day. If you watch on the social media outlets, you get to engage with our listeners and be a part of the conversation, and you get your comments in as well.
Let me also say this. We are in the last week here of our matching challenge campaign. Your support of the ACLJ allows us to not only bring you this broadcast, but for these kind of fights that we're seeing in Washington and really around the world. So ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to us, we're getting a matching gift for. Let me encourage you to do that. ACLJ.org. You're taking a stand for freedom. You're going to take a stand with us. We encourage you to do that again. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Now, there is going to be additional breaking news today, in all probability. So we will keep updating you via Facebook, social media, as facts warrant. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. Confirmation hearings are taking place in the U.S. Senate for Judge Neil Gorsuch. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Gorsuch's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition to confirm Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. Call 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
back to the broadcast. Let me give you a couple of items here. Number one, a vote on the Affordable Care Act is going to be taking place today. The president said he was done negotiating. This was, I think, the art of the deal. And by the way, Freedom Caucus, I think, did a good job of getting some significant changes to that. Planned Parenthood was happy yesterday there was no vote. They sent out an email alert and a tweet. But the president tweeted right back to the Freedom Caucus and friends and said basically this. The irony is that the Freedom Caucus, which is very pro-life and against Planned Parenthood, allows Planned Parenthood to continue if they stop this plan. I think that message has been received. And I expect the president is pushing forward on that vote. We are monitoring that and working on that on Capitol Hill. We have come out in favor of it. I know some conservative groups have not. We have for a couple of reasons. Number one, the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Number two, the elimination of the Hobby Lobby problem, which is the employer mandate, the individual mandate as well. So no Little Sisters of the Poor problems in all of this. So it eliminates those kind of mandates. It also is going to make insurance more affordable. It allows the states to have more control. Let me also tell you that we're monitoring, working very closely on Chuck Schumer's threat of a filibuster for Neil Gorsuch, a judge who I've appeared before, who's been nominated to the Supreme Court of the United States. I take it personally because I got one case pending there right now, may have another one on the way. So that is something we are working on as well. And then on the surveillance issue of the president, I was on Hannity last night, and I made it very clear that I am concerned about the surveillance. I think the president was surveilled. I think his affiliates were surveilled. If it was before the change in the executive order, which is what Chairman Nunez said, that was the executive order that allowed more branches of government, more branches of the security apparatus to receive the signal intel, which I think was a huge mistake. And, of course, they did that with only 18 days left to go in the administration. But if this happened before that, meaning when the president was the Republican nominee or the president-elect, this is a really big deal. And who authorized that? James Brennan, Loretta Lynch, Clapper? Who authorized that? That's the question we need to be asking. So we're following all those stories.
And that will continue to break out into next week. Yep. We know that there is a lot more coming. NSA documents are supposed to be provided to the House Intelligence Committee. Both
Comey
sides.
Comey testifying in a private meeting.
Comey and Rogers from NSA in a classified briefing to the House Intelligence Committee. I think that will begin really next week. We'll start getting more and more information about exactly what is what was going on in the surveillance of Donald Trump and his affiliates. And the big questions will be is, when was it happening? Was it happening even before the election?
But this was under the Obama administration, right. So he is responsible for this.
Definitely under
really
the Obama administration. The only question is, it makes it even worse if it was happening before he got elected.
And the head of the Intelligence Committee is saying, guess what it's not about? Russian intelligence. Here's what he said.
I have confirmed that additional names of Trump transition team members were unmasked. And fourth and finally, I want to be clear, none of this surveillance was related to Russia or the investigation of Russian activities or of the Trump team.
There you have it. So it's not about Russia. Than, how is all of that? How's that issue of the surveillance? I know Nunez has gotten some flack for running over to the White House, but how's it playing right now in Washington?
Well, I think Washington, D.C. doesn't have their eye on the ball here, Jay. I mean, you're right. Chairman Nunes is the one getting all the fire, and he has said, listen, maybe I should have handled the rollout of this a little better. But that is not nearly as significant as the fact that one of the two major party candidates for president of the United States might have been surveilled by the current president's administration. Yes. I mean, D.C. does not have their eye on the ball here, Jay. They need not worry about Chairman Nunes. They need to focus on the real problem here.
Which includes the unmasking, too, by the way. And the leaks. I mean, everybody forgets about the leaks. So there's a lot going on. We're glad that we're able to broadcast to you.
Yeah. We'll get a lot more on that next week.
Yeah, now they're going to do it behind closed doors because I think this briefing is going to be serious. I said this on Sean's program yesterday. This is a constitutionally created crisis by Comey and the intelligence community. A constitutional crisis created by the intelligence community, including James Comey. That's what I think this is all about. All right. When we come back from the break, we're going to take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Continue to get your comments in via Facebook and Twitter. Our radio audience will be taking your calls as soon as we come back from the break. And don't forget our ACLJ Matching Challenge campaign, last week of it for March. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls and comments, in just a moment. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Talk to you in a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. Confirmation hearings are taking place in the U.S. Senate for Judge Neil Gorsuch of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit to replace Justice Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court. Judge Gorsuch is exceedingly qualified. He has a proven constitutional conservative record, but the left will stop at nothing to defeat him. They don't want a proven conservative on the court. Now it is more important than ever, as these hearings are underway, to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Gorsuch's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition to confirm Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
To the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 as we're covering multiple topics and multiple issues. Let's go ahead and take Elizabeth. She's on line five. Elizabeth, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
My call. I wanted to say that we really need to pass it today under the reconciliation, because otherwise we're stuck with Obamacare and taxpayer funding of abortion. And also, I like the idea that this takes out the individual mandate and the employer mandate, especially the employer mandate, because that will help create jobs, especially for small businesses who can't afford lawyers.
Well, I think you have given an excellent summary, Elizabeth, on why we need to move this forward. And I think let me add one thing to it. If it doesn't happen now, I don't see it happening. I really don't. I mean, I think this, and you talked about the impact on small business, which we haven't said, which we should have, and you're absolutely right about that. This has a big impact on small business, and they can't afford these mandates. So this is good for the economy, and it's good for the American people. It's going to have some competition within the insurance industry. It doesn't affect Medicare and Medicaid. It defunds Planned Parenthood and eliminates the Hobby Lobby problem. I think for a start, phase one, I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, the issue, too, is that we don't know the makeup, especially the House of Representatives. They're all up for re-election every 2 years. So if this continues on, drags on, 2 more years from now, who knows what party's in control of the House of Representatives. The Senate may be more likely to stay in Republican hands because of the way the races are set up. And I think that makes it easier for some of those senators to poo-poo this initial American Health Care Act. Because they don't face the same kind of urgency, but the legislation's got to originate in the House of Representatives.
Yep.
And could you imagine if it was Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives again?
Right.
Anything like this moving forward? Absolutely not.
Would not happen.
So the window is actually pretty short to guarantee some kind of replacement.
Talking about a window being short, what is the window time frame we're under right now, Than? Then Logan will take some phone calls. Let's, Than, what is the window we're in right now?
Been keeping my eye on the debate as we're on air here. We're inside that 4 hours of debate that's on the bill. We probably have about 3.5 hours left on that, Jay, on a real clock. That's still probably close to 4 hours. I'm still guessing somewhere around 4 p.m. for a final vote.
Okay. All right, folks, we're going to keep everybody posted on this during the day. We may come back live to you several times today. Is this, it's that big of a deal? All right, Logan, let's grab some phone calls. We'll get some comments as well. Let's start with a call.
All right, let's go to Brian in Kentucky on line three.
Hi, Brian. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Brian, you there?
Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, Jay, I'm a big supporter, and I'm a donator also.
Appreciate
ACLJ.
It. Thank you.
But, yes, you bet. But the thing is, on this Obamacare thing, it seems to me, you know, the Obamacare structure's there. They got all these taxes, so they're rolling into it.
Yep.
And it seems like the Republicans now, what they want to do is not get rid of it, but control it.
Well, look, I mean, you go ahead, Brian. Finish up.
Well, that's all I'm saying is that how are we going to get rid of all these taxes?
It's going to take phases to do this. Now, some of these things can be rolled back administratively, but you're going to have to get phase one done. This, we've been talking about this for 40 minutes. You got to get phase one done, and this is the first phase of that. And then there's phase two, and then there's phase three. But you got to start with phase one. I know this is what we're seeing on social media?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so let's walk everybody through this again. All right, and Jordan Thane did a very good job on this. There's a phase one, which is this legislation. There's a phase two, which is the regulatory regime. Yep. And there's a phase three, which will be the harder battle, which will be, can you get enough votes in the Senate to really get the rest of it done? And that's going to depend on elections.
That does depend on elections. So phase one, you get done through reconciliation. That means no filibuster in the U.S. Senate, no 60-vote threshold, up or down vote guaranteed.
Today.
You just need 51 in the Senate, so you can move this forward very quickly. The House, again, so the House really holds a lot of the importance, say, in this vote, because the Senate can then make changes and send it back to the House, but only minor. And, again, this is limited. So that's phase one, getting all of this done, including the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Phase two is regulatory. Now, the reason why people say, well, why can't you do the regulatory now? Secretary Price has got to know what the law is, how it stands. So if this American Health Care Act passes, the way he does regulatory reform is very different than if it doesn't pass. I mean, Than, that I wanted to point out is that the regulations that can be changed or fixed or maybe just totally repealed by HHS, the Health and Human Services Agency, That really does flip on whether or not this reconciliation passes.
That is 100% correct, Jordan. You have to have the statutory construction in place in order for Secretary Price to be able to do the regulatory phase, at least a lot of it. And just very specifically what the caller said, the taxes, Jay, this was a very big win by the House Freedom Caucus. They got the repeal of the Obamacare taxes rolled back to make them retroactive. Jay, if this passes, those taxes will now be repealed dating backwards to January of 2017. That was a big win for the Freedom Caucus, and I think our listeners need to make sure they understand that.
The tax is like, 3.5%, almost 4%. I mean, it's a high tax.
So since you've had a tax cut through this reconciliation,
yes, you also
get
a tax cut. So yes, we've endorsed it. We're in favor. I know there are Republicans that disagree, Logan, and conservatives that disagree, but that's the position of the ACLJ.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to Audrey, who's calling online too.
Audrey, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I don't get the second half on the radio, so please answer my question before you disconnect me. If they invoke the Reid rule or the nuclear option to get Judge Gorsuch confirmed,
yes,
is this a one-time thing only, or can they do it again?
Well,
because the Democrats are angry, and they will oppose anybody.
Yeah, once the Senate rules changed, the Senate rules changed. I mean, the Senate can change the rule again if they wanted to, but it wouldn't. I don't think it would happen. I think that would be it.
So any future nominees by President Trump to the Supreme Court, if that were to occur, would also just have to meet that normal threshold of 51.
Exactly. Now, Audrey, let me tell you, if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, which it sounds like you do not, do you have access to Facebook or Periscope or other social media platforms?
Or
ACLJ.org?
I don't unless I go to town to the library, which
got
is
it.
A 7-mile drive.
Yeah, okay. Because if you had internet access, you got ACLJ.org. We're heard there. And there's a lot of other platforms, too. So,
yeah, SiriusXM, you can get your house or something like that.
There's
way
you can get it. All right.
All right, let's say we got 4 minutes left before the segment is over. Let's see if there's any comments here. Actually, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Donna in Rhode Island.
All right. I like the way you did that, Logan. He didn't like the comments are coming in. He went to the phones. All right, Donna, go ahead.
Hi, Jay. I'm in the same situation as the previous lady that I don't get the full program, so could you not disconnect me as well?
You don't have to ask.
You don't have to ask. We will not disconnect you. Go ahead.
Unless you hang up, we're not going to disconnect you.
All right.
Thank you. So I was listening to Fox News last night with Monica Crowley and Coulter. I heard a little bit of Rush with the Hillsdale College people not being for it. And then you mentioned that the Christians, some Christians groups are not for it.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me why anybody would be against this the start?
Well, they don't like the fact that this is not, quote, a full repeal of Obamacare. But what they, in our view, and these are friends of ours, the Freedom Caucus has moved this a long way into a positive direction, number one. And number two, this is a reconciliation bill. So there's only so much you could do. Here's what it is. some groups, and again, these are friends of ours, they're purists, and I get that, except the world we live in is not so pure. So it would be great to say repeal Obamacare, then we'll pass a series of bills, except none of those are getting through the United States Senate. So, Donna, that's the real problem.
Yeah, I heard commentators like Bill Kristol, who are, again, they don't like anything Trump administration is proposing these days. So take that with a grain of salt. There's a lot of these commentators just don't like Donald Trump. So anything that he's endorsing, they're coming up with opposing.
If he wins.
Here's what I think is important to understand. Bill Kristol was saying, well, why don't they just propose the best they can if it doesn't get through after 3 months and really take reconciliation to the limit and let the Senate say, no, you can't do that. And then 3 months from now, where you can still do a reconciliation, I think until September maybe, then do it. You can't give that kind of time away to the in politics.
Yeah.
You don't do it now. You've looked like you failed. And Donald Trump is not the type who's going to say, let's keep this going for 5-6 months.
No.
He's going to say tax reform.
On to the next thing.
Okay, we couldn't do this, but let's do tax reform.
You want to try to grab a call with 2 minutes to go here, Logan? I think we can.
All right, we can try. Let's go to Julie, who's calling on line six.
Hi, Julie. Go ahead.
California.
Hi, Jay. Thank you so much for educating
us.
Listening to you, I've already changed my mind on several things.
All right.
I think God will bless America tremendously if we get rid of abortion and we support Israel. And I think you just answered my question, which was, if the Freedom Caucus doesn't get everything on this year's reconciliation bill and it still passes, can they add more in next year's reconciliation
bill? You could try, that's for sure. I'll go to Than quickly on that. But this is, you get this one, you get this through, you got the ball rolling in the right direction here. Than?
It only gets harder, Jay, because the longer this goes, the deeper entrenched Obamacare is. And by the way, when it would come up again, even if theoretically it could, you're going to have the same
problem.
We live in a government where you have to get it through the House and the Senate. It's only going to get harder.
Yeah, this is why we've staked the position we've staked. And I know some did not agree, as Jordan said, but we took the position we did because it accomplishes four things fundamentally. It rollbacks the taxes, gets rid of the defunds Planned Parenthood. It gets rid of the individual and employer mandate. It's going to make health care more available. It's going to give states more control in this. Those are all, in our view, steps in the right direction.
Yeah, I would say that.
By the way, and some of our friends were the groups that actually came up with the mandates.
Yes, ideologically, we are, I'd say we're conservative purists. But we are attorneys, and as attorneys, when we analyze things and look at things, you say, what is the best possible outcome in this situation right now? What's before me? What is before us right now is reconciliation, and pushing to the limits of that has been done by the House. If you look at this as attorneys, which we do at the ACLJ, we're not just policy wonks like some of these groups who just say yes or no and judge everything based off their own kind of constituencies and what we're based off. We look at it logically, reasonably, and we say, okay, this is the best you can do here, then that's okay. That should get a yes.
All right, we're going to be back with our last segment and your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. Confirmation hearings are taking place in the U.S. Senate for Judge Neil Gorsuch of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit to replace Justice Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court. Judge Gorsuch is exceedingly qualified. He has a proven constitutional conservative record, but the left will stop at nothing to defeat him. They don't want a proven conservative on the court. Now it is more important than ever, as these hearings are underway, to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Gorsuch's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition to confirm Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Yes, everyone, last segment here. We are talking about, of course, the vote on the Affordable Care Act repeal, which is the Obamacare repeal, and that is with the American Health Care Act. So that is up. We're looking at the Neil Gorsuch situation, how that relates to this attempt by Chuck Schumer to filibuster. And then, as I've been covering this week with Sean Hannity, the surveillance issues on the president, I think you're going to have explosive information on that next week. We'll save that for next week, but I expect it to be explosive information. We're going to go right to the phones and try to get every call we can.
All right, let's start with Jenny on line 5 in Houston. You're on the air.
Hey, Jenny, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I had a question about the tax credits, and actually it's two questions. The first thing is you keep hearing this negativity of, well, the richest people are going to get these tax credits, that it's only for the wealth, or, you know, that it's a big boon to the wealthy. And then the other part is that if you give the poor people the credits. Tax credits on the back, then they don't have the money up front to buy it, and it doesn't really help them because they have to wait till the end of the year to get a tax credit.
I'll handle the tax implication. You go ahead and go first.
Remember, though, there's still two major issues here. We have Medicaid, so that is for the poor.
Right.
So if you're truly poor, based on the government standards, your health care is covered.
Right.
And it already has been, and it will be under this
new
plan.
And that's not changing.
That's not changing. Then if you're over the age of 60 or 65 or older, or a couple of other, you know, special scenarios there, if you're Social Security, disability insurance, you get Medicare. That's not changing here. Also, you could be low income but get it from your employer. So that's not changing here. You're talking about this small group of people who make enough money a year, the government's decided that they could purchase some kind of plan. They're going to give you more tax benefit to do that.
Which is real money.
But they're not going to penalize you if you don't.
Right. And here's the other thing that you need to understand about that. What this is going to do is increase employment, because small business, which is the backbone of the American economy, and they've said it, we've not been able to hire because of the cost of tax care. This will also, because it will not be these minimal coverage standards, it's going to, that's just 50 employees or more. It's not going to require these kind of plans that were so expensive and not practical for small business. But great question, Jenny. We appreciate you calling in.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Ella, who's calling in Oregon on line 1.
Hi, Ella. Go ahead.
Hello. I work for the largest Medicaid provider in Oregon.
Okay.
And we have been told that there's going to be like billions of dollars in funding shortfall with the repeal of American Care or the Affordable Care Act. So what I'm hearing from you, though, is that this isn't going to affect Medicaid. So
right.
Can
you
address that?
Yeah. Fan, let's talk about that, because that has been a very clear part of this.
I think she's hearing from probably leftists in her state, Jay, because the only change to Medicaid that it makes is actually, well, that's true, but it actually gives Oregon more control over their Medicaid dollars. It's a formula that actually sends the dollars back to the states, and the federal government won't be able to tell them any longer what to do with it. So that's just fundamentally incorrect.
So it's your state agency that I believe probably Ella works for that administers Medicaid, because it's a federal state program that would then get a block grant.
To handle it,
and then decide how to use those resources.
So, it may not come from the federal government, but you'll be getting it from the state government instead. It's just a different way of funding and giving the states more control. All right. Next.
All right. Let's go to Anna, who's calling on line 3.
Hey, Anna.
Hi, I'm Anna. I have two questions. My first question is I have a lot of family members who are low income, many of whom have been able to get on insurance. Medical insurance for the first time in their lives thanks to Obamacare. My aunt was able to finally get insurance a couple of years ago, and she found out she was diabetic and got on life-saving diabetes medication.
Good.
So wondering what implication that has for people like my aunt. And my second question is, why...
Let me answer the aunt's question first, Anna. It's going to be easier for her to get, because now you're going to have more insurance companies that are actually going to be engaged in this. And you're going to have more direct access available. So what this will not impact in a negative way people in your aunt's situation.
Pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, pre-existing conditions are not going to be a disqualifier here, so she'd have no trouble. All right, next question.
Okay, my second question is, so many people go to Planned Parenthood for cancer screening, for STD testing, for prenatal care.
They
people
do no cancer screenings. They don't do that. That you're reading, you're getting, Anna, you're getting information from Planned Parenthood. They are not in the cancer screening business.
They refer.
They refer.
To and, health clinics that actually do it.
And the health clinics that actually do it will be getting more money under this plan. Same thing with concerns over STDs or anything else. That the money is going to be allocated to clinics that don't engage in abortion. So all this is impacting is the abortion business of Planned Parenthood. Believe me, that's why they're sending out a tweet every 10 minutes and blast emails. All right, let's go ahead and get another call, Logan.
All right, let's go to David, who's calling online too.
Hi, David, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I'm just absolutely befuddled by these congressmen who've been around for such a amount of time.
Yep.
They just ignore every principle or every rule for getting something done.
Yep.
And, I mean, these guys are acting like they're at the head of a boulevard.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for all the lights to turn green before yes. they cross the street. It that, doesn't work that
no,
way.
No, it doesn't, David. I talked about this actually with a former presidential candidate early on in a campaign in this cycle. It's saying how it's going to take a while for conservatives to come around to the idea of governing again and not just opposing things. And it seems like to me, they still love that. They still love rushing to say, I don't like what the White House is doing. But hey, this is the White House trying to work with you. This is not President Obama ignoring you. So if the White House is going 75% of where you want to go, you say yes or else.
Or get it to 82%, but then get the deal done.
Win as a minority party. And then and when they do take back power, which they will at some point in the history,
yep.
You know what they always do? They come together and they pass it on the thinnest of margins because they're,
Obamacare,
they get
it. Not one Republican vote, not any no amendments on the floor, nothing. Here you've had this entire process, and I think the president has executed the art of the deal pretty successfully here. All right, Logan, let's grab at least the last call.
Hey, let's go to Mary in Colorado.
Hey, Mary, go ahead.
Hi. I appreciate what you guys do at ACLJ.
Thank you.
I have a real quick question.
Yep.
Yesterday I heard an individual, I think it was a representative from Oklahoma, talking about the reason that they can't change this health care, a lot of the rules in the health care, is it has to go through what they call the Byrd rule.
Yeah, so let me get Than explain that really quickly to everybody.
The Byrd rule governs the reconciliation process and said this, it says that anything that is not budgetary in impact cannot be considered under reconciliation rules. We've talked about that a lot, but if they try to put something in that does not impact the budget, the Byrd rule, Jay,
yep.
will strip it out automatically.
So that's that, and we appreciate that call. Do we have one more caller, Logan, or is that it?
Was that it, or is this another call? Let's go to Christine, who's calling.
All right, Christine, really quick.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my
sure.
call. I was just curious, since this healthcare bill is currently in debate.
Yep.
Would it make any difference or help in any way if we immediately call our representatives?
Oh, I think yes. it can. Yes, absolutely.
Especially
go ahead.
If you have yep. Republican representatives. The Democrats are opposing this, but if you've got Republican representatives,
call them.
Specifically we're talking about House of Representatives today, not senators. House of Representatives
yes,
today.
Your
you have a Republican congressman, let them know because some are keeping track and I think they've heard from too many people who are, again, they're buying into this opposition idea.
Yeah.
So if you support this, give them a call. This is the time to do it. I mean, we're in the final few hours.
Yeah, literally. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Although, for Facebook and Periscope, I suspect we will be coming back to them
absolutely.
Live. Logan, tell them everybody how we will let everybody
that's right.
know.
Make sure you subscribe to the page so you get a notification when we're live and continually check what's going on. That's at Facebook.com/JaySekulow as well as on Periscope. Just subscribe to Jay Sekulow, and you will hopefully get a notification when we go live later this afternoon with breaking news, if it happens. You can also find us archived later on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, the ACLJ app, which is available on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV. We also have an app on Roku. If you have a Roku device, we get to watch this show and all of our movies absolutely free and television shows. You get to watch that again on Roku. Just look for the ACLJ app in the App Store.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. Confirmation hearings are taking place in the U.S. Senate for Judge Neil Gorsuch. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Gorsuch's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition to confirm Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. Call 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online.